Just want to say welcome to all of the Michigan State students. As you're coming back, we love you. We're so glad that you are with us in this space. And also want to say welcome to all of you, all nations, all ages. We are a church together, one family together. And so let me pray over us and let's jump into God's word today. So Father, thank you for this morning. We thank you for your spirit. In this place, even right now, we take a moment and we pause. And we remind ourselves and we orient ourselves, our hearts and our minds, our emotions, our perspective, our thinking. And God, we put you at the center, God, of our attention, of our focus, of our hopes, of our dreams, of our fears. We set you at the center on the throne, God, where you belong. And God, I pray that as we approach your word today, Holy Spirit, would you come and would you enlighten and illuminate us? God, would you speak your truth and would you speak your word and would you speak your life change? God, we don't pretend to come to your word today with anything but reverence and honor and God, anticipation and expectation for your power and your perspective to move us in our lives. And so we thank you for that this morning. And we say, yes, we give you permission to come in to speak to us. God, I pray that you would let us see today. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So element 101, and we're going to jump right into this today. So I have a question for you as we start out this morning. Who is Element Church? What do we do at Element Church, and what are some ways you can get involved at Element Church, or what are some ways, rhetorically for you, what are some ways I can get involved at Element Church? And so here's the thing I want to ask you a question is, because it's kind of hard to answer, like, well, who or what is Element Church? Well, I'll ask a question, who are you? And if I were to ask that question of you, here's what's interesting, is that's a multi-layered answer, right? It's if you were to say, Pastor Scott, who are you? Or I was to say, well, who are you? You can't just answer that question by going, well, this is what I do. You can't just answer that question by going, well, this is where I was born or who my parents are or this is how tall I am or this is with the shade of my eyes or my color of my hair or whatever. This is layered. It goes into identity. It goes into DNA. It goes into culture. And then it goes into action and doing. And all of that comes together to form who you are and what you do. And so that's true on a personal level. It's also true on a church level. It's true on a familial, spiritual family level. And so today, what I'm going to try to do is actually kind of work our way from big picture down to more concrete. And so who we are, that's more of a concept. Like if you were to say, if I were to say to you, who are you? That's more of a conversation almost. It's a conceptual idea. And then if I were to say to you, well, what do you do? That's more concrete. It's kind of why when you meet someone, a lot of times you find yourself asking them like, well, what do you do? Because it's very concrete language. It's easy to talk about, but it would be silly, right, to think that you are wrapping up someone's, who someone is based on what they do. And again, we make that mistake a lot with people. And so today, what I want to do again is I want to go from conceptual down to concrete and talk about our church. And we need to understand that there's different language, right? Conceptual language is something like this. To excel in college, and again, welcome back, MSU students. To excel in college, you'll have to work hard. That's a concept, and that's true. But then as you move down to concrete, to excel in college, you'll need to go to every class. You need to do all your reading before you go. You'll need to write several drafts of each paper. And you'll need to review your notes for each class every week. And so that would be more concrete. I'll give you another example. And this was out of research that I did on this concept of conceptual and concrete. But it talked about this idea of ladder of abstraction. And it goes something like this. In concept or abstraction, you have food. This is an example, food. And then as you move down into more concrete language, you go food, you go sugary food. And then you keep moving, you go dessert. And then you go ice cream. And then you go premium ice cream. I'm starting to get excited now. And then you go Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Now I'm getting really excited. And then you go Ben and Jerry's Chunky Monkey ice cream. And then I go, what is Chunky Monkey? I don't know. And then all the way a double scoop waffle cone of Ben and Jerry's Chunky Monkey ice cream. And you can see the difference between food or sugary food and a double scoop waffle cone of Ben and Jerry's Chunky Funky ice cream. Those are concepts and concrete language. So here's the question. What's better language to understand who someone is or what someone does? And the answer is it depends. They're both useful. They're both useful. And we need concepts and we need concrete. We need concept and concrete, principles and practices, and we need who we are and what we do. And so I'm going to work down the ladder today. Just if I were to ask you, well, who are you? And it would be a layered answer. And you say, who is Element Church? It's a layered answer. And so I want to start at the conceptual identity of who we are. And number one, if you're taking notes here, number one is who we are. who we are. Who is Element Church? Who are we? This is an identity conversation. This is a conceptual, a little bit more of an abstract conversation. Here's the answer, who we are. We are an East Lansing church of all ages and nations following Jesus together. Now, here's why that matters. We are an East Lansing church. We're called to this city. We're called to this campus. We are in East Lansing. And then we're a church. You guys, we're not a campus ministry. We do campus ministry somewhat. We support campus ministries, but we are a church. So we're an East Lansing church of all ages, all of us, all generations, and all nations. We're open to the entire world. All nations are coming into our backyard. We're going to talk about that more in just a minute. But we are an East Lansing church of all ages and all nations following Jesus together. And we are pursuing Jesus. We're walking with Jesus. We are submitting and surrendering to Jesus. And we're becoming like Jesus together. We are with him together. And I love the word together because that's what the church is all about. That's who we are. Revelation 7, 9 through 10a says this. It says, after this, this is talking about the end of the age. It says, after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. This is John having a vision of the last days. It says, after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. So there's all these people coming together, right? And here's the scripture. From every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. That's Jesus. They were wearing white robes and they were holding palm branches in their hand. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne. So here's the idea. John's having a vision from God about what the end of the age will look like. Here's what the end of the age looks like. It's all generations, it's all ages and all nations coming together, every nation, tribe, people, and language, and we all stand before the throne and we worship Jesus together. That is the picture of God's church. That's who we are. We are an East Lansing church of all ages and nations following Jesus, worshiping Jesus together. And here's what's so interesting about that is when you take every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, when you take generation, when you take men and women, when you take different kinds of people and you put them together, what inevitably happens? What inevitably happens is tension. That's what happens. And you know, some people think, well, that's a bad thing. Well, here's what's interesting is actually in the Church of Jesus Christ, there's always going to be tension. But the idea is that in the tension, in the differences, in the wrestle of our differences, we find unity, not uniformity, but unity in a common goal or a common purpose. And that common goal and common purpose is to worship Jesus and then to do his will on the earth. And so there's generational tensions, there's racial tensions, but Jesus is in the tension. And actually in the book of John, it actually says that the way Christians love each other in the family of God will actually be a testimony to the world that there's something supernatural in our midst. And that looking on to the church, the world will step back and say, wow, something supernatural must be happening there because people that different couldn't love each other that way unless there was something beyond them that was bringing them together. And so that's why we're a church, an East Lansing church of all ages and nations following Jesus together. It's who we are. It's what we're called to. It's the end time revelation of what the church will be. And it's also a testament to the world that Jesus is who he said he was. And so that's who we are. That's who we are. We are a church, an East Lansing church of all ages and nations following Jesus together. Number two, as we kind of move down conceptually more toward concrete, I want to talk about what our kind of our rally cries are, or our vision, or I put it this way today, what we dream about. There's who we are, but then there's like, what do we dream about? And if I were to ask you, who are you? You could say, well, here's who I am, like as an identity. And then you could say, here's what I actually am passionate about. Here's what I dream about. So as a church, here's what we dream about. And it's a simple phrase that if you've been around Element any amount of time, you've heard it before. It's change the backyard, change the world. Change the backyard, change the world. It was on the front of our original, it was the front cover or the inside flap cover, whatever it was, of our original vision book when we launched the church. It's change the backyard, change the world. And here's what that means to us, and here's why it matters. Some people will ask us, like, as I said earlier in the first part, in East Lansing Church. And people will say, like, hey, Pastor Scott, hey, Pastor Erica, does the church have to be in East Lansing? I mean, could it like be like in one of like the surrounding towns. I mean, it would be a little bit easier to be there. Here's the thing that's so interesting. It absolutely would be. We've actually had opportunities to buy buildings. We've had opportunities to go outside of the East Lansing community. We've had opportunities to go outside of the campus community and kind of set our roots down and kind of become a church. But here's what's interesting is that we're an East Lansing church. We dream about changing the backyard and changing the world. And I've had so many conversations with even other ministry friends of mine where they actually had churches that started in East Lansing and then they moved out to a different community. And they said, you know, as the car drives, it wasn't that far, but culturally, it was so different that we had a hard time making the same kind of inroads into campus. And so we have decided as a church that we are an East Lansing church. Does it have to be in East Lansing, Pastor Scott? Because we've got to be portable then, and we've got to set up right now, and we've got to tear down, and things are going to be harder, and it's transitional, and people are coming and going, and it's transient, and it's a challenge, Pastor Scott. Yes, I know that. And here's the thing. It's okay for it to be hard because sometimes hard things are worth it. And we are called as a church to be an East Lansing church of all ages and all nations following Jesus together. And here, I want to give you just a little quick snippet of one of the reasons why it's so important for us to be on within walking distance to campus, which again, we're going back to Kellogg. We're meeting at Kellogg. That's why we meet at Kellogg. Here, check this out. Did you know that freshmen at Michigan State University are required to live on campus? They cannot live off campus. They can't live in houses in the community or an apartment or whatever. Freshmen have to live in the dorm structure on campus in East Lansing. So freshmen are required to be on campus. Did you know also that freshmen are required to not have a car? So freshmen are required at Michigan State to live on campus, and freshmen are also not able to have a vehicle. So what that means is that every freshman student that comes into Michigan State University is actually required to live in a couple square mile box, and they cannot have a car. That is a requirement from the school of Michigan State University freshmen. Did you know that Michigan State University has one of the largest dorm structures in the country? It is one of the largest universities in the country, and it has the number one dorm system in the country of people living on campus. Freshmen have to live here, and they cannot drive out of here. So what that means is that students live here, and they can't travel easily, and that's why we need an East Lansing church within walking distance to campus. And here's the thing. I'm going to talk more about this in just a second. Why a university city, why a campus matters, but it matters for us to be geographically close and culturally close to the campus because the people that are coming here to study and to learn, and by the way, the entire world is sending their young leaders here to us in our backyard, we've got to be present and on campus. So why even like, Pastor Scott, why even do like the university thing, like the Michigan State campus thing? Well, I'm going to give you a couple reasons real quick. There's a lot more, but here's some very, very good ones. Number one, why Michigan State? Why a university city? Reason number one is because young influencers equal a lifetime of influence. Now, let me break this down for us really quickly. And I'm going to use some examples from like secular companies, because did you know this? If you don't know this, listen to me and check this out. Did you know secular companies are targeting university campuses? There's a reason that when you go down to like a welcome event at Michigan State, there's major companies that are investing dollars to reach students there. Why are they doing that? Because young people who are at university campuses are both young and they're influencers. So as I said, reason one, young influencers. Here's what's interesting. If you reach a young influencer, you reach that person for the entirety of their life. So if you're trying to sell them Coca-Cola, then you like, I want them to be a Coca-Cola fan, not a Pepsi fan, for the rest of their life. But if you reach a young leader, you not only reach that leader for the rest of their life, but you reach everyone that they will influence for the rest of those people's lives too. And so what you have is you have young influencers, you have an entire lifetime, an entire spectrum of years for that person to quote unquote use your product, and then also to share their love for your product to others. So that is really, really important, because when you reach a young influencer, it means you're gaining a customer, but also gaining that customer's sphere of influence for the rest of all of their lives. Now, I put that in a business lens, in a Coca-Cola, Pepsi lens so that you can see it, but now I want to bring it back into a spiritual lens, and I want to say this. What about leveraging that same idea for mission instead of money? Because Coca-Cola and Pepsi are leveraging that concept for money, for a company's bottom line, but what if we leverage that same opportunity for mission, for love, for the flourishing of humanity. Because here's the thing, it's what Jesus did. Jesus did speak to the multitudes, but what Jesus did was he invested his life in 12 young disciples. And what he did is he said, I'm going to invest my life into your life, trusting and knowing that as a young leader, as a young influencer, you're going to go and you're going to take the rest of your life and invest in other people. It's exactly what Jesus did, and it's what moved from addition to multiplication. It was Jesus's model. He selected young influencers, and then he invested his life into them, knowing that was the most powerful use of his life. God in the flesh said, this is the most powerful use of my life. So I have a question for you. Where are the young influencers in our world today? Where are the young influencers in your sphere of influence and my sphere of influence? Here's where they are. They're in training incubators called university cities. That's where they are. And we live in one, and we work in one, and we serve in one, and I'm standing in one right now, and we are called to one, and we are called to have an East Lansing church in the middle of one because it's a international 55,000 individual member leadership incubator on a revolving door. And we have an opportunity at MSU this year alone to reach thousands of people for the purpose of the gospel. Secular companies see this opportunity of young influencers for multiplication and money. The church has to see this opportunity for the idea of multiplication and mission. That's the first reason why we're on campus. And Matthew 13, 31 through 33 says it this way. Jesus says, I tell you another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it's the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds can come and perch in the branches, He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. And the idea of this is that the kingdom of God starts small and you put it in the right place. And over time, that influence grows up and becomes something very large. And that is the idea of change the backyard, change the world. We plant the gospel in this place and it branches out. So we plant the gospel in young leaders and there's a lifetime of influence. Number two, why are we on a Michigan State University campus? Number two is that transitional seasons create formative windows. Now, this is really interesting because, again, secular companies know that this time period is a transition from childhood to adulthood. Childhood to adulthood. And what you have is you have young people that are stepping out of mom and dad's house and they're beginning to build their own metaphorical house. They are starting to build their own kind of life. And this is a transitional season and it creates a formative window. I want to read you a little phraseology that I pulled into my notes here. It says, secular companies see this as a finite formative window. It's a moment in time. It's a formative window where people examine and establish internal beliefs and behaviors that will last a lifetime. Young people are doing identity development work, coming up with their own preferences. Companies want to impact people in this window to influence lifelong buying patterns. So here's the thing. On a spiritual front, there's a lot more at stake than buying patterns. We know a high percentage of young people leave the church or abandon their faith in college. Why? Why do they do that? Because they're reexamining what they've been told and they're firmly settling into what they now believe. They are spiritually, they're these spiritually formative windows, and it's where they reexamine and establish their values, paradigms, behaviors, and that will undergird or set a foundation for the rest of their lives. And then this will be on your screen. The college years are potentially the most transitional and spiritually foundational years in a person's life. Secular companies use this transition to prosper bottom lines. The church should use it to prosper human lives. And we've got work to do, gang. We got to do this work because it's an opportunity, guys, in this formative window to make a difference. I want to give you a very practical example of this. There's something called Sparticipation. It's the main welcome event at Michigan State University. When the new students come back each year, there's like 14,000 people that come through Cherry Lane Field in about a 4-hour window. This is one of the very first days that freshmen are on campus and they come through, and it's the student fair where all the student organizations are, and they're meeting people, and it's just this kind of melee of students and people and student organizations and ready worldviews, because there's all sorts of things happening in this field in a 4-hour window. And so what you do is you take an 18-year-old from Florida and you fly them up to East Lansing, Michigan, and on day 2 or 3 or 4 or whatever of their college experience, for some of them maybe on day 1 of their college experience, they're walking through a field of 14,000 people, and they are receiving thousands of messages over a 4-hour period about who they should be and what they should do and where they should go and the relationships they should form. And I have a story for you, because several years ago we've been at Sparticipation all the years, but that we've been a church, but a few years ago, there's a chain link fence around the field. And so there was thousands of students waiting to get into this field. They were coming through the little gateways in the chain link fences. They were coming through. And so as they would come into this little door in the chain link fences, there was lines of people handing them stuff. And I'm in the line, and I'm handing them an invite to Element Church. And right next to me is a guy with a leather strap around his neck with one of those like kind of table things or whatever, and the leather straps hooked to it. And he's got a tray that he's holding, and it's full of condoms. And so I'm standing next to a guy, and here come thousands of young people, thousands of people who are on day 1, 2, 3, or 4 of their campus experience at Michigan State University. And as they come into the field that they're required to be in, there is a man handing them an invite to meet Jesus, and there's a man handing them a condom to go meet another human in a sexual encounter. And I will tell you that moment right there is the moment that we're called to as a church. Proverbs 14:1 says this. It says, the wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. And that's true for you if you're a guy or a girl, that wise ones build their house, but foolish ones tear down their own house. And here's what's so interesting is we have students coming in from all over the world who are coming in, and they're beginning to build their house. They're leaving mom and dad's house, and they are beginning to build their house. They've left mom and dad's home, and they're building their home. And in that process and in that moment, some of them will build their house on the foundation of Jesus. They will build their house on the rock, and some of them will build a house that when the storms come, it will fall and it will falter. And that's why we're called to this campus for transitional seasons and formative windows. That's why we're here. Number 3, why Michigan State, is that local investment equals international impact. Local investment equals international impact. Did you hear my voice crack? That was kind of fun. You're probably going to get more of that. So MSU is a literal crossroads of the world. Michigan State University is a crossroads of the world. I'm going to read this to you. I pulled this off of Michigan State's University International Center, these statistics. Michigan State University's International Center cites current enrollment over 7,000 international students from over 130 countries who are working on all 7 continents in the world. Let me just bring that to summation for you. That means the world is in our backyard. And it's like this. It's not just the world, in our backyard. It is the influencers and leaders of the future world that are in our backyard. Think about it like this. We spend Christian dollars to send Christian missionaries out all over the world. And we should do that. And we should keep doing that. And we're doing that as a church. And you're doing that as faithful givers to Element Church. But the world is spending their dollars to send their best and brightest people to us, and they're in our backyard in East Lansing, Michigan. The freshmen are coming in. They have to live in the dorm structure, and they can't travel out with a car, and they're here, and they're learning for 4, 6, 8, 10 years, and then they're going back out into their home countries, back out into influential city centers, and they're leading schools and governments and businesses, and they are leading and influencing other people. And so I have a question for you. If you want to impact the future of the world, if you want to impact the worldview of the world, if you want to make a difference in the world, if you watch the world and you say, wow, things are really tough, how can I make a difference? How can we make a difference? It's such a complex issue. It's so hard to know where to put my hand to or put my heart to. Can I tell you where? Everybody listen to me. Look at me. Put your heart and hand to Element Church in East Lansing, Michigan. this is the moment. This is the time. This is how we do it. Simply put, changing a life at MSU is changing the world. And I mean that with every fiber of my being, that when you impact the backyard in East Lansing, Michigan, you impact the world. Change the backyard, change the world. This is an opportunity that secular companies are all over, as I said earlier. But you know what, guys? The church has to get passionate about this opportunity. And as I'll take a kind of a half a step back, you say, Pastor Scott, you know, is this just kind of like a strategy? Like, it sounds like students are strategy. Students are not projects to be fixed. They're people to be loved. And here's the thing is that we are supposed to be in loving people and loving Michigan State students and loving future influencers. It is a strategic season and a strategic opportunity. But here's the thing. Remember to go back. Who are we? We're not just an organization that's selling something. We are a East Lansing church of all ages and nations following Jesus together. And that's what we're doing, and that's who we are. So that's who we are, and then this is what we dream about, to be a multi-generational, multi-ethnic church that is investing into the next generation. It's who we are, all ages, all nations, following Jesus together. So as we move down this idea of, you know, who are we, what do we dream about, I want to move now a little bit more into kind of some of the strategy of how we do this. And I'm going to move through this at a pretty good clip. I've taught about this in other places, but I want to just give us the thumbnail highlight of this, okay? So what do we do? How do we, if this is who we are, we're God's church, we're living in the tension of a lot of different people, we're in unity but not uniformity, and we are loving each other, and then we're called to this very strategic place and time, then how do we do that? Like, what do we actually start to do? And here's what we can actually start to do. And this is where you've heard us talk about this idea of know God, find freedom, discover purpose, make a difference. And these are really, again, concepts, but they start to flesh out into strategy. And so knowing God, we want to see people saved. We want to see people come to know Jesus Christ. And we do that in a lot of ways. But one of the ways we do that is we gather together on the weekends at the Kellogg Center, and we do a salvation call every single weekend. And you guys, if you've been around for any amount of time, you understand this. We give an opportunity for people to make a decision for Jesus every single week, every 7 days, and we are praying for people to come to know Jesus. And can I challenge you, Element Church, be praying for that as we start to gather together, be praying for that as we move into the fall, that people will come in and there will be a spirit of adoption over Element Church, that there will be a spirit as people walk in, they say, wow, I'm home. And it's not just a physical thing of like a part of a church, but I'm home like to my heavenly Father. I'm sensing something. I'm sensing a belonging. I'm sensing a draw. We pray that the eyes of the spiritual eyes would be opened and the hearts would be opened and people would come to know him better. And so one of the practical functional ways we do that is on a Sunday morning. We come together to worship. We come together to gather around God's word. We come together to be together in community, and we do that on a Sunday. And you know, some people recently, like even in the pandemic here, they're like, I don't know if I need that anymore. I don't know if I want to do that anymore. And here's the thing. I'm not here to throw shade at what any decision anybody makes. That's up to them. But I can tell you this, is we've prayed as Element Church. We feel called to be a local church meeting in the center of the city down on campus and be creating an opportunity for those who do not yet know God to come in and sense his presence. And we are going to continue to do that. We are going to meet on the weekends and gatherings for salvation. Here's the next thing, finding freedom. We want to see not just people saved, but we want to see people walking into freedom. We want to see people healed. And we do that really by committing into relationship with one another. We have something called freedom groups. We go through different books and opportunities. But here's the real idea of this, you guys, is that we create at Element Church something called a growth culture. It's basically that we are growing together. We're following Jesus together. And so here's what we do. We read our Bibles and we pray and we commit to each other in community. And as we do that and we come together, we group together. We meet in groups together throughout the week. We are walking with Jesus together, and through that process, he's bringing healing and freedom to our lives. We're experiencing him. We're coming to a greater awareness of who we are and where we need discipleship and where we need him. That's healing. And then the next one is discovering purpose. And we always like to say this, if you have a pulse, you have a purpose. But here's the thing, is we are all not just saved out of something and healed out of something, but we're saved and healed to something. And in the Bible, whenever Jesus would heal someone, it was like not only did he heal their legs or heal their hands or heal their eyes, but what happens after healing is that you actually get to use the thing that God healed. If your legs got healed, you can walk and run. It says in the book of Acts that Peter and John actually prayed for a man and he couldn't walk. He got up and he began to dance and to run around. When Jesus heals someone's eyes, they begin to see. And so purpose starts to be found or discovered out of this concept of salvation and healing comes this idea of greater purpose. And I start to say, hey, God, you not only met me and saved me and you're healing me, but God, you've called me to something. And God, you have a purpose over me. And we're discovering that together. And we do that really, you guys, through in a lot of ways, serving together because we're learning how to serve one another. We're learning how to serve our city. And that leads me to this last thing is making a difference where we become, the mindset is that we become mature servants of Jesus, mature sons and daughters of Jesus, where we serve out of our pleasure and an honor, not out of a dutiful experience. Although serving out of a dutiful experience is better than not serving at all, but we serve out of pleasure. We serve out of honor. We serve because it's our greatest joy, because we get to be with the pearl of great price. We love Jesus and we love what he loves and he loves people. And so that's what we do, you guys. We read our Bibles together. So here's kind of some like really, really functional kind of things. We read our Bibles together. We do that through something that's called SOAP. We actually all read one chapter of the Bible together each day. So we read one chapter of the Bible. We all read the same chapter of the Bible each day. And then we have the opportunity to talk to each other about it. Here's what's so cool is if you go to Element Church and you read through SOAP with Element Church and you go out to coffee on any given day with someone from Element Church, you can literally sit down and go, what did God speak to you out of the reading today? You could literally sit at coffee and have a built-in spiritual exchange where you're on the same page and you're reading the same thing and the Spirit is investing in us in a similar way. And we can engage one another through that conversation and allow God's Spirit to work and to move. We can move together spiritually by reading the Bible together. This is incredibly powerful because I can talk to someone that I haven't even talked to yet at Element Church. And if they're reading the Bible along with other people at Element, then we can actually talk about, man, God's speaking this to me. Hey, remember in verse 10 when you read that this morning? Man, this stuck out to me. Did that hit you? Oh my goodness, that. And we can actually move together in spiritual maturity. We can follow Jesus together by soaping and reading the Bible together. So if you want to do that with us, please download the phone app. You can do that on your phone. It has the plan right on your phone, you guys, and we have the pleasure and opportunity to lean in God's word together. We read the Bible together. We pray together. And we do that twice a year in seasons, 21 days of prayer in January and August. And then we have an e-group that meets in between where we can just pray together. We want to be a church of prayer. So you can sign up for an e-group. You can keep your eyes open and plan to do 21 days of prayer and fasting in January. That's coming up in a couple months. All of that, we pray together. We Sabbath, you guys. We take periods of rest and delight in God. And I've taught about this a lot, so I won't belabor this here, but we take a 24-hour period to turn off the idea of producing something in order that we could sit in silence and rest with God and we could delight in him and in his gifts. We focus on soul care. I already talked about freedom a little bit, but we go on silence and solitude times. We pray, we listen to God, we journal. We are trying to get into deeper self-awareness so we can see where we need God to disciple us in fresh ways. We involve ourselves in the church. We commit to covenant community together. We tithe and we're generous. As we move into this next season, I want to be more encouraging and more direct about this than I've ever been before. Element Church is a tithing church. We believe in tithing. Now, here's what's so cool, you guys. I actually was reading in 1 Corinthians this morning, and the Apostle Paul was talking about preaching the gospel, him preaching the gospel through hardship and sacrifice. And he actually said this in 1 Corinthians. He said, if I do it willingly, then I have a reward. It's just a gift. He says, if I do it out of discipline or like if I'm struggling to do it, then I've been entrusted with a stewardship. And so here's the deal. Giving financially to God and to God's work, it's like that. If you can get the revelation that it's actually a joy, there's this incredible gift in it. Paul says, I think it's in the book of Timothy, it actually says that Paul's writing to Timothy to instruct those who are rich in this world's wealth to give and be generous in order that they could experience a life that's truly life. there's this idea that when we actually embrace this idea of giving as a gift, giving as a joy, that there's this whole other kind of life that begins to open up to us. We experience prosperity and blessing, not just monetarily, but actually in the nature and context and quality of our life. And we begin to partner our finances with God's kingdom, and something amazing begins to happen. And so that's what we do as an act of our will. We rejoice over that. But even if we see it just as a discipline, because some of us start there, and I've been there, it's still a stewardship, and there's still a blessing in it to discipline ourselves to do that. But here's what I want you to know. Hey, Element Church, we are stewards, not owners. We don't own anything. Jesus owns everything of us. He owns our entire life. He owns all of our hopes and our dreams and our fears. He owns everything. And so that includes our finances. And so as we move forward into this next church, I just want to continue to communicate to us, Element Church, we're a tithing church. Now, here's the deal. You can attend Element Church, and you don't have to give a dime. We're not charging for the gospel. You just come and you can attend and be a part of it. The gospel's free for you. It was free for me. Here's the deal. But as you mature and grow and you become a part of the core of Element Church, as you mature and grow and you become a leader, an influencer, a stabilizer in God's kingdom, as you mature and grow and you get closer to Jesus, you realize that Jesus was a giver. He gave everything. He gave his life. And because he gave, we give. And it's an opportunity and it's a blessing. And yes, it's a stewardship. And we, Element Church, we're a tithing church. I would never ask you to do something I don't feel compelled to do. My wife and I were tithers. We are givers. We started tithing to Oasis Church 13 years ago, and we actually paid for the room rent out of the first Sunday out of our tithe that we gave to the church. And we were like, we'll pay for the first room rent out of our tithe that we're giving to the church. And then we'll just trust God that other people will come and catch the vision for it. And they'll also give. And then we can actually rent the room more times. And then, you know, we'll be able to buy a speaker. And then, you know what, we'll be able to and insert blank so that we can be a local church of all ages and nations in East Lansing that are following Jesus together. And I want to challenge you and charge you and encourage you. This is a moment for you to tithe, to give, to catch the revelation that we are stewards, not owners. And hey, Element Church, we are a tithing church. And that means not only that your lead pastors are tithers and that I'm committed to that, it means this, that our church tithes on everything that comes into our church. 10% goes back out for missional work because we believe in being generous and sacrificially giving. And for some of you, I want to challenge you one step further. For some of you, you've been tithing, and this is a challenge for you, not just to tithe, but to say, God has blessed me financially. It's my time to tithe and then to give above and beyond my tithe in order to see God's work move forward. You guys, we need to move into East Lansing and into campus in ways we never have before. And I know God is going to speak to the right people to be generous and to give. We are a tithing church at Element Church. It is a decision of trust and obedience. And we are going to move together in that way. So tithing and generosity is something we do. And then lastly, just this idea of missional assignment or service. We live every single day on mission with God, and we do it together. So you guys, those are some of the things we do. So as we move out of kind of conceptual, who are we? What do we dream about? What do we do? Those are some of the things we do. We gather together at Kellogg. We gather together in groups on a weekly basis. We serve together on teams in the church. We are covenanted together as a community. We serve, we give together. We read the Bible together. We pray together. We serve our community together. And here's the big idea. We are maturing together. And that means that we have the opportunity to change the backyard and to change the world together. So, I want to start to move us to a close. I want to just reemphasize this point of maturity, maturing together, walking or following Jesus together. I want to put a scriptural lens on this. The Bible says that we live one of two ways, that we are operating one of two ways. We're either operating in a carnal mindset or in a spiritual mindset. An immature mindset, that's the carnal mindset, or a mature mindset, that's the spiritual mindset. And the carnal mindset, the immature mindset, is that I look at life through a limited human lens. And for most of us, that means my lens, my life, what I own, what I can put my hands on, what I can control. But the mature life, the spiritual life, is that I begin to look at life through the lens of Jesus Christ, that I begin to live and look at my life through the lens of Jesus's life. And if you are in a carnal, immature mindset and lens, you are missing out on spiritual awakening and spiritual experience. And I pray that as we move into this next season, Element Church, that we would experience a fresh spiritual awakening and a fresh spiritual experience in ways we never have before. In order to do that, we're going to have to mature and we're going to have to grow up. And that means that we're going to have to step into things we haven't stepped into before. It means we're going to have to step up to things we've not stepped up to before. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14 says this. The writer of Hebrews says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, that's, you know, maturely like sharing with others, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. He's saying, look, if you're still drinking milk, hey, listen, infants drink milk and live off of milk, and that's totally okay, you guys. There's a season for that, and that's right. And if that's where you are, that's a beautiful thing. But the writer of Hebrews is saying in verse 14, but solid food is for the mature, who by, and watch this, by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So here's the deal. A baby feeds on milk. Immature feeds on milk. That's a beautiful thing. It's great for a season. But Element Church, if you're part of Element Church and you are moving into the core of Element Church, we have a season where we need to constantly be training ourselves into the things of maturity and righteousness, that we need to be able to discern the difference between carnal eyes and spiritual eyes. We need to be able to discern the difference between something that I'm longing to put my hands on and control and the place where I need to trust God and let Him be in control. We need to move from the carnal to the spiritual, the immature to the mature. Milk is, I understand what Jesus taught, and I understand what Jesus taught on earth and did on earth and what's recorded in the Bible, and I'm learning God's ways. That's, I understand what Jesus taught. But meat is, I operate according to what Jesus taught. I don't just know what He said. I use what He said, and I make my decisions based on what He said. I begin operating not out of a human lens, but out of a spiritual lens. And so as I close here today, I want to remind you of the seven practices that I talked about. What do? We read our Bibles. Well, Pastor Scott, I don't really understand the Bible. Grow and start to understand it. Soap with us together. Download the phone app today, right now. Like if you need to pause the video, pause it. Go download the app. Start reading the Bible with us as Element Church. We can talk about it together. We can walk it out together because we need a mature lens to walk into the Bible. Prayer. We're praying together on Wednesday mornings. Pause the video. Go sign up for the e-group. Let's pray together. Let's seek God's Spirit together. And let's let prayer become part of the culture in a fresh way of who we are. Guys, at all of our meetings, all of our e-groups, all of our Sunday gatherings, let's prioritize prayer in a fresh way. Let's seek the Lord. Let's pray in understanding. Let's pray in the Spirit. Let's pursue Him and seek Him. And let's pray. Let's be a people of prayer. Let's Sabbath. Let's make the decision to say, God, I'm going to trust You that You can do more with 6 days of production. If I take the seventh day and I rest and I trust You and I don't overwork the ground, and God, I believe You can do more in the 6 days than in Your power and Your strength than I could do in seven doing it my way. And so God, I trust Your way, and God, I'm going to do it Your way. And can I tell you something? When you make that decision on the seventh day, it impacts the rest of the 6 days. It changes the way you live. Soul care. Let's lean into what Pete Scazzaro calls the shadow side. Let's lean into the places in our lives where we go, you know what? I know that that's a problem. I continue to refuse to confront it because I'm terrified of it. Can I tell you? Jesus is not terrified of the shadow side of your life. And instead of numbing it or narking it or avoiding it or creating noise in our life to hide it, what if we just with the Spirit of God leaned right into it and we said, I'm not going over or under or around, I'm going through. And God, You are more than enough for me and my mountain, and I will grow and mature through this place in my life. I will sit with You in silence and solitude. I will journal. I will walk through freedom. And God, would You heal me in a fresh way? That's what we do. Church involved. This is a season. Hey, Element Church, this is a season for you to recommit to community together. Look, that doesn't mean, well, hey, every 7 days you better be in the building. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this is a covenant community. This is a people that say, hey, the world, there's all sorts of craziness happening in the world. We need each other as God's people, and we need to covenant together. I read in the scripture, I think it was this morning in our soap, it was Mark, and they said that Jesus' family came to Him and said, you need to come home. because you're acting crazy. And Jesus said, who is my mother and who is my brother? It's the ones who are doing the will of the Father. This is a season for us as a church to be a family, to be together, to commit and covenant to one another and say, these are my people. So you know what? Commit to your people. And you know what? Participate and partner. And that leads me to tithing and generosity. This is not just a thing where we show up and we just kind of get to like be a part of it. You can do that if that's where you're at. Milk is beautiful for a season. But for many of us, we've been walking with the Lord for years, and it is time for us to take the step of faith to say, I don't own it. It's not mine. Jesus, you're in charge. You're in control. And it's my season to trust you with finances. We are stewards, not owners. We are managers. We don't decide what to do with it. We say, God, I'm going to trust you with the first 10% of the income you've blessed me with. And I believe you, God, that you can do more in the remaining 90 than you could do with the 100 when my hands are gripped onto it. We're a tithing church. It's a decision of trust and obedience. And for somebody watching today, this is your moment and this is your call. Today, you need to pause the video and you need to go sign up and you need to begin giving, because it's not just for God's work through Element Church. It's actually for your soul and for your heart and the way you trust God. And you are freaked out about money. Everybody listen to me. You are freaking out about money. You do not have to be wealthy wealthy people actually usually freak out about money more than poor people. We think, well, if I don't have a lot, which we think sometimes we don't have a lot, well, when I get more, then I'll be generous. That is actually not true spiritually, and it's actually not even true statistically. You can go look up the research. If you don't believe me, go Google it. Generous people typically are not, or wealthy people are typically not as generous as poorer people, a percentage of income. You can go check it out. So here's the deal. You decide today what you do for wherever you're at on the spectrum of wealth, because we trust God. It's a decision of trust and obedience, not a circumstance of our wealth. That's how tithing and generosity works. For somebody today, that's your word. It's your day to trust God. And then number 7, missional assignment and service. We live every single day of our lives together on mission for God's kingdom and God's purposes. When you go to Starbucks, did you know that the person making your foam cream, whatever, pumpkin latte thing, that they're a person and they need Jesus. And so we love people and we serve people, and wherever we go and whatever we do, we live through the lens of that. Ed Cole says this: maturity has nothing to do with age, but the acceptance of responsibility. Hey, Element Church, it's our season to grow up. It's our season to mature. It's our season to return back to the mission and calling that God's given us. It's Element 101. It's who we are. It's what we dream about, and it's what we do. And I'm challenging you and I'm encouraging you as we go back. This is the time. This is our opportunity. This is our moment to mature, to follow Jesus together, and to make an impact on the world by making an impact in our backyard. We're going to love and serve the next generation. And when they leave mom and dad's house and they begin to build their own, we're going to be the people that stand in the line and hand them an invite to Jesus instead of an invite to an empty exchange sexually with another human being. We're going to introduce them to Jesus, the one who could love them the way that no other human could ever love them. We are an East Lansing church of all ages and nations who are following Jesus together, and we will continue to exalt Jesus as the pearl of great price, the one who is worth our entire lives, the one who sits on the throne of our hearts, and we will be a people and we will be a house to say Jesus is Lord and Savior, and we will lift him up. Just like the revelation we started with at the beginning, that all nations, all ages, all people, all tribes, all tongues will gather together, and we will gather around the throne and we'll worship Jesus together. And that's Element 101, what we're doing in this place. Let me pray over us. And I want to pray for a couple of things. I want to pray for a fresh commitment to what Jesus wants to do in this city. I want to pray for our hearts to be wrecked the way that Jesus cares for people, that our hearts would literally be opened up and rent open for the things that burden Jesus, that in this city, that would be a fresh commitment. I want to pray for a fresh commitment to stewardship and sacrifice. I want to pray for a fresh, ready excitement and joy about what's possible. This is the last thing I want to pray for, a fresh excitement and joy about what's possible, because it's been a season where people have looked on and said, wow, this has been a dumpster fire of a season. Can I tell you, this has been a refining fire of a season. And as we come back together, I want to stir you again out of a season of what seems like disappointment. Some of us are so tired. Some of us feel like we're so exhausted. Some of us feel so discouraged. This is a season to stir up fresh joy and excitement about what's possible, because God speaks to the valley of dry bones, come alive, and it comes alive. And that is a fresh, fresh word, and I want to pray that over us. So, Father, thank you for this morning. I pray, God, for a fresh commitment to what you want to do in this city through Element Church. I pray, God, that you would open our hearts and our minds, God, to be broken and burdened for the things that break you and burden you. God, that you looked on and you had compassion for people who were like ones without a shepherd, ones who were oppressed of the enemy. Jesus, the Bible says that you came to destroy the work of the enemy. I pray that there would be a group of people that would rise up and catch the vision again to say, we are here to break the work of the enemy through the power of Jesus Christ. We will be a people who are in a place called East Lansing, who are ministering to a people that are establishing the foundations of their lives. And we are here to exalt you, Jesus. We are here to say you are Lord and Savior. We are here to be a people that will hold the standard and hold the hill, and we will be those people. God, would you break our hearts for what breaks yours? I pray for a fresh commitment, God. And I pray, God, for a fresh commitment to stewardship and sacrifice. God, that we would be the ones who say, send me, I'll go. That we would be the ones to say, I will trust you with my finances. That we would be the ones to say, I'll be the one who shows up and is available, because God, in your kingdom, availability is the greatest ability. So I'll be the one to be available. And God, that doesn't mean we serve beyond our limits. It doesn't mean that we think that we're saving the world in our own strength, because all of that is not of you, God. But God, we pray that you would show us where our limits are and where our abilities stop. But God, that we would go all the way to the end of what you've called us to do. We would be faithful, and we would be available, and we would be ones who steward well, and we would be ones who sacrifice generously, and we would be ones that live lives of purpose to make a difference and change the backyard and change the world. And God, lastly, I pray for a fresh excitement and joy about what's possible in this next season. God, I pray that you would stir in us, you would spiritually awaken us in a fresh way. I pray right now for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we would know you more, that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened, that we would see you in fresh ways, and we would see the hope to which you've called us, God, the inheritance of your glorious church, God, moving forward. All ages, all nations, all tribes, all tongues, all people coming together in unity, not uniformity, to worship you, Jesus, as Lord and Savior. I pray you would stir up excitement. I pray you would stir up joy. I pray you would stir up hope. God, I pray for all the fruits of the Spirit that are not fruits of circumstance, but fruits of your Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And that we would move into this community in a fresh way, and we would see spiritual awakening, God, as we seek you in a fresh way in this season. Thank you for excitement and joy being stirred up, God, in your people today. We thank you for that. And lastly, I just want to pray, anybody that's never started a relationship with Jesus, you want to do that today. You want to make a commitment to say, Jesus, I need you to come into my life and to have all of me. Whether you've never done it before, whether you did it at one point, but today's your day to come and make that commitment afresh. I want to pray with you. You can pray this with me. Just repeat after me. Say, God, thank you for your son, Jesus. I believe that he came and died on the cross to pay for my sin and to open the way for me to have relationship with you, not in a way of merit or earning, but in a way of receiving the gift of your grace. Thank you for coming and finding me in a moment and in a time when I don't deserve to be found, and loving me right where I am. I surrender today. I ask you to come in and to have every part of me. And I thank you for birthing within me a new life, God, that's obedient and walks with you. I thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Amen.